two pieces that are connected to each other. One is the same as this. Yeah, some copies. First is the Yekhue Lecha. Oh, yeah. The Yekhue Lecha Para Aduma Tmima. You'll see where, like, he starts off here and know where he's coming from. Ki la'atid yigale Hashem yitbarach et kvodo li'Yisrael bili shum lavush. So we talked about lavush a little bit yesterday, right? So the general idea is that revelation is connected to concealment, right? Achinat, we've seen in Zmir, achinat akel mistate, right? In a sense, you can only walk in the street if you have your clothes on. Right? If you didn't have clothes on, you'd have to hide. Right? So it's the covering. You, when you cover yourself, that allows you to reveal yourself. Right? And a person, you can tell something about the person through the way they present themselves, right? Through the clothes that they're wearing. Right? So you have that idea with regards to the Hitgalut of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the whole Torah is really about the Hitgalut of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. That's what it's all about, and the whole Torah is only talking about that, right? And different forms of what and processes you have to go through in order to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed in the world. Okay, so the Yichud Lechaparu Damat Mima Ki La'atid Yigalek Shem Yitbarach Et Kvodol Yisrael Belishum Lavush. So that's some sort of reality which we don't understand, because we say you can see God in nature, right? You can see God in the Torah. You can see God in history, right? We talk like that, right? That basically you're saying that nature is a levush of God. Right? You're saying history is a levush of God. You're saying Am Yisrael is a levush of God, right? You can see God in acts of kindness, right? All those things, because mitzvot are a levush. It's a way that God reveals himself. God is not the sunset, right? But a person who's sensitive and sees a glorious sunset, he can see behind that, he can see something of God's glory. Right?
You see the
flowers of
the
body,
you don't see God. You see the flowers.
What's
the flowers? You see, if there's such great things.
So it reveals something.
So it must be God is very great. You know, saying if Hashem is Chanun, so it must be. We don't really understand what Hashem is, we just see how Hashem relates to us. He's Chanun. We can never really understand
that,
God.
That's nobody's talking, but something, that's right, just like you can't understand another person. Right? If I look at you and I see how you're dressed, right? So I get an inkling, I don't know you well, right? I get an inkling of the type of person you are, at least the way you want to present yourself.
We want to present right? yourself.
And that also tells me something about
who you are. Love doctor. In God, love doctor. But Etzem Atzmuso, you can't talk at all as well.
I understand, but because we talk about revelation, if Etzem Atzmuso, you can't talk, so we can go home and there's no religion.
Isn't that
but
the Torah?
This is the Rambam. This is not the Rambam. Right? It's a different, that might be certain things which are similar, but it's a different model. Right, the Rambam doesn't talk about Levushim, right? This is, you know, Levushim is Chassidus and Kabbalah. It's not the Rambam.
No, but Echnavid, he's saying that Etzim, you can't talk at all.
The question is, do we have some conception of God or not? Some sort, stress on some sort, right? Because we talk about God all the time, right? And even when we don't talk about it, there's some sort of experience that fuels what we do, right? If a person didn't feel anything when they learned Gemara, they would stop after a short time, right? Even the intellectual excitement is some sort of feeling, right? So there's something you have to say that what you do relates to God. Else why should you do it? You can't just say God is in the other world and there's no connection. I mean, the whole Torah, whether you're a Mekubal or not, is somehow to bridge the, you know, is to bridge the gap, the infinite gap, which is unbridgeable, right? But somehow to bridge that gap between the world and the Baruch Shalom, right? If you don't have a relationship, we talk all the time about having a relationship with the Baruch Shalom. You're not talking about looking yourself in the mirror and having a relationship with yourself.
Right. I'm just saying that there's a chalik between...
It's all, of course, but it's all a way of trying to grasp the relationship with the Baruch Shalom. Look, I'll give you an idea. Okay, I'll show you another piece just in terms of this type of discussion. No, you're raising a very important point. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. About in the chait of Miriam and Aaron. But I just want to show it to you here without getting into the details of that. Divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, this is in Sanhedrin. Einam kidvarim shel basar vadam. God speaks, it's not like when a human being speaks. Ki basar vadam kshirtse lahavim lechaveiro davar sheino bahasagat seichel enoshi. Midameihu bidvarim. You need symbolic language. I want to try to convey to you something which is ineffable, so I can't explain it to you. I have to say it's like something else. Right? And that's why I say when God's revelation is like the levush that a person wears. Right? In order for me to convey that to you, if I have a certain understanding, right? I can't tell you what God's revelation is. Nobody can say that, right? But I say it's like levush. Okay? That I'm just applying that as an example. Okay? Right? She'eino basagat seichel enoshi midameihu bidvarim. It's not in there. Okay? Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'et shidaber im ha'adam v'yirtzel lahavino davar. When God wants somebody to understand something, az badvarim shemidaber imo me'ir lo u'machniso b'madrega hazot kefi ha'davar she'yirtzel lahavino. God doesn't have to speak to people in symbolic language. Because the communication is from the inside. It's direct. And you experience it directly. Because I can describe to you my trip to the Himalayas, right? And I can say it was like this, it was like that, right? You weren't there, so I can try to describe it, right? But if God is telling you about the trip to the Himalayas, all of a sudden you're there. So that's why he said the application of this is very interesting in terms of Aaron and Miriam. Says that he wanted to communicate to them the Madriga of Moshe. Right? They had to understand that they weren't on the Madriga of Moshe. So he says, when God said to them, Panim el Panim Adaber, they experienced Panim el Panim Adaber. They experienced the Madriga of Moshe. And then he said, Bo, and the door closed. Side, right? He said, Bo, and the door closed. Tunat Hashem, they saw Tunat Hashem the way Moshe Rabbeinu sees it. Yabit, the door closed. Right? In other words, the communication is not verbal. Right? Because if I say to you, Tumunat Hashem Yabit, so you think, what do I mean by Tumunat? There's a whole interpretive process, which is distancing. The use of language creates distance. It's an intermediary. Right? But God doesn't use language when he communicates. Even though the Torah talks about it that way. Right? It's a metaphor. He says when God talks to people, the experience is a direct experience, what he wants you to experience.
In a way,
different levels of experience.
It's all the escalation of era and the
I don't want to get into this whole thing about Nivosa Moshe Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Okay? But, because he certainly has shittot with regards to that. But broadly speaking, the use of symbolic language is a human need because we can't experience things directly. Not only things that are divine, but even things which are like divine. If I have emotions, you can't experience my emotions directly. So I try to convey them to you, saying, you know, like I feel like an ice clap to shine if I'm very tired, or you know, if I, you know, very happy, you can say, his face is shining like the sun, right? The Mari Cohen, right? That's all trying to convey what it was like, right? And then in the period, right? At the end of the period, it basically says, you know, but all this doesn't capture it because Ashrei Ayin Shirasa, right? Because if you weren't there, Lamaisa, this whole beautiful description, it just doesn't capture it, right? Because basically it's a description of Shechina. So you're just trying to describe the Shechina. All right, so we have no other access to communicate, but rather through words. But God is not bound by that. So when God wants you to understand something, all of a sudden you have the insight directly, without an intermediary. Okay? So here, okay, he's talking about latid yigalash shemik barachet kvodol Yisrael belishon levush, without any intermediaries. In other words, you won't have to say you see God through nature. You see God even through the Torah, right? You see God through history, right? But you see God, not through anything. Okay. Ki achshav. Now, what does this have to do with paraduma? You'll see. Okay. Ki achshav gam kei nimtza ze hachayim. Be'omek Yisrael, ach eino b'hitgalut, rak b'levushim. Because God's presence, even now, is in Yisrael, but it's hidden in levushim, right? It's hidden in history, etc. Right? And what are the levushim? והלבושים הם התורה והמצוות שאין יכולים לבוא לעומק רצון השם יתברך רק על ידי התורה והמצוות. Okay, so Torah mitzvot or levush of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, that's what you say. That's what you mean when you say you can you can come close to God by knowing Torah. What do you mean? That you can learn about God through the Torah. Right? So God is hidden inside the Torah.
Okay? This is more than just saying that that we're mitzvim, we understand the mitzvah by learning.
Right, this is different. Right.
This is much more like.
Yeah, but the question is what the there's a very essential question which he's not getting into here, which is maybe the essential question in all these types of discussions, is what is the relationship between the levush and the essence.
We can understand the essence, that's not the whole.
But what is the relationship? That's true, that's why you have to have a levush. Bolam has it, right? He's talking about some sort of different reality where latid lavo you won't have it, but when you have it, right, what is the relationship between them? In other words, what is the relationship between your body and your soul, right? Your body is a levush for your soul, the way your begadim are literally a levush for your body, right? So what is the relationship between the two, right? So it covers it. So physically it's touching it, but it's not connected to it, right? But it does convey something of who you are. Now, is that something of who you are that it conveys? Is that connected to who you quote-unquote really are? Or is it just an impression which is created, but it's not who you really are? You understand? What I just put now is the whole question of connection between the Esses Sfirot and Ein Sof. That's a machlokas between Jiktili and other Mekubalin, whether Keter is part of Ein Sof or not part of Ein Sof. And that has to do with the relationship between the Sfirot, which is God's revelation, and God who He is as He is without revelation.
Who says what?
Jiktili, I think, says that the Keter is Ein Sof, Keter is in Ein Sof.
That makes sense.
That means
everybody else holds not that way.
Okay.
Why do we hold on?
No, because it's pantheistic. Understand that what is God's? No, if they're together, then it borders on pantheism.
Because I know they speak.
Because that means God, as He is in the world, as opposed to separate from the world. If you separate, that's the whole problem. We don't have time to get to the whole discussion at this late date, but this is it has to do with because everything really boils down to, if you think about, like, what are the essential questions? The essential question is, what is the relationship between God and the world? The world is finite, God is infinite. What's going on, right? And that's what, one way or another, that's what all this is grappling with. Okay, we can't solve all the problems now. We can't even formulate the problems now.
So one question: is it necessarily true what Eliyahu said before that this is different than when it's during the mitzvah through the tzivuyim? What does this mean then?
Yeah, no, that's not different. But the question: do you understand the mitzvah? Well, no. The mitzvah is the mitzvah. He's totally transcendent, and this is what you do, and it doesn't tell you anything about him.
It's really the same.
It's not. I don't know if it's a chesedish bent. I mean,
it could be the same exact thing. I understand cognitively what the mitzvahs are, and therefore somehow that tells me something about the boy. It tells me something
about God.
I can never understand God. So I can only understand what he said. He says about tefillin. So if I understand more about tefillin, then I'll understand more about God.
Okay, so there's some connection. You can't understand completely, but it's
it's the same idea.
It's an expression of some aspect of God that He wants you to do this.
The Rotz of Hashem is really part of who is the host.
Well, if you believe that. If you believe that. No, it's a model.
No, it's not that way.
The Rama would tell you that.
No, it's about Jaktilian and everybody and all the other
people. No, but
I understand the
Rotz. So you see that you have to understand also. You're using Rotz. There are different models.
Okay.
A model could be seen as a framework for trying to understand data. Okay. And you use different models to try to understand what's going on. Okay. So one model of understanding the relation between God and the world, you use the model of a mitzaveh and a mitzuveh, and you talk about Ritzon Hashem, right? Mm-hmm. But Ritzon Hashem, you have to understand, is a model. It's a model that you were very hooked into, because that's really the model of Torah Shebichsav. The sense that you get from Torah Shebichsav is that God created the world. How did God create the world? Ratzon, right? You talk about divine will, right? That quote to all like the people, the chokrim, like the yekim from the last generation, who chokrim these things. That's the chiddush of Judaism, divine will, as opposed to paganism. Right? Paganism doesn't talk about will, doesn't talk about the will of the gods. there's sort of like a flowing relationship. They're part of the world. Will is a transcendent aspect, right? I want to create something. So in my head, I decide what I'm going to do, and I create it, right? So I'm here, and what I create is there, right? That's Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. God is here, right? In Kabbalah, that's not how the world is created.
It's a different,
the point is the world is sort of, God gives birth to the world as opposed to creates the world. They're different models, which is right. They're just different ways of looking at it, because the creation of the world is not the same way you make a, even though we're, you know, Kli B'yada Yotzer, right? But it's really not the same. It's not the same.
I'm going to clarify.
Forget about Kabbalah. Forget about Tzimtzum. No, not Tzimtzum. Pre-Tzimtzum.
Everyone agrees that there was a divine will, right?
What do you mean agrees? That's one way of looking at it.
It's Tzorach Kabbalah. The Ramban says there's Tzorach Kabbalah, the creation of the world. Hashem wanted it to happen.
There's no way to look at it that
God is bound by anything, right?
No. There are different things. The world was created, right? Okay. Creation is bigger than, you know, building the Brooklyn Bridge, right? So you have to try to grasp, what does it mean that God created the world, right? What does that mean? It's not a historical event.
Okay.
Right, it's a meta-historical event. So one second, listen.
Listen.
So you have, you can call it a mythical, you can call it a myth, not in the sense that it's Bava Mises, right? Call it a religious story. It's not a regular story. It's a religious story, right? Mm-hmm. So it's bigger than anything you can normally describe with words. So you have to, it's like talking about God also. Anytime you talk about God and the world, you're talking about God, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to try, you can't explain it fully, so you have to try to grab aspects of it. So you can only talk about different ways of looking at it rather than explaining it. Do you understand the difference between trying to give you a different way of looking at something so you can grasp some aspect of it, because it's an infinite, really, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to explaining it. One is a New York Times article, right? And another is, you know, a religious story. It's different. So if you talk about the creation of the world, let me give you an example, right? So you can talk about it in different ways. You can talk about it as you look at different creative processes that we know, right? So you talk about a male model, quote unquote, right? A male model is the creation takes part outside, right? That's really what you have in Torah Shebichtav. Certainly in the story of Maase Bereishis, God, you get the sense, right? God is here, and then out there he creates something, right? Through Amira, which is like an act of will, mm-hmm. Okay? Doesn't tell you anything about God, mm-hmm. Right? It happens outside of God, right? That's the way the Torah looks at it. And when I say the Torah, I mean Torah Shebichtav, right? But there are other ways of looking at it, right? You can look at it not as an act of will that's created by a transcendent force, right? But as a natural process.
No, you can't.
Kabbalah does. Don't tell me Chas v'Chalila.
Everyone agrees the Sovereign Kol Amin also. Even in Mali Kol Amin. The Sovereign also.
There are different ways of looking at it.
To look at it as a natural process.
There is a way of looking at that process. The Arizal says that the world, the Arizal talks about the birth of God, about the birth of the world, because it's connected. I'm trying to tell you what Omer Kavanasho is. The point is that you have something which is infinite, and you can only grasp different aspects. When my daughter was 3 years old, she said, right, once we were all in Hashem's tummy. It's a different way of looking at it. The creation that occurs when a woman creates is different than when a man creates. A man creates things out there. And for a woman, when a woman creates, right, the creation is an internal process, right? And there's a birth that gives birth. That's why you still have images of water and emergence from water, which occur again and again. And that's why you have mikveh. Those type of symbols still exist, because there are different ways of looking at it. That's why Bnei Yisrael Holech B'toch Hayam B'Yabasha, and that's why the Teirah HaYabasha, and that's, you know, that's why you have, you know, Dam Leida, and it's all connected to these things. But we can't get into them. They're just different ways of looking at it. They're different models for trying to describe an infinite phenomena. So you can't say it's this. If you say it's this, that's Avodah Zarah. But that's a different thought that he has.
I can't accept. But
okay,
yeah.
Fine. Why don't you just say you suspend judgment?
No, because I've been provided that that's not the case.
So I'm just telling you, just say you'll suspend judgment. Suspend your judgment for a minute. Try to expand your horizons a little bit. Suspend your judgment. Just say you don't understand.
No,
that's Mekubal.
I'm not very calm.
Okay, fine. Whatever you want. Okay. Ki la'atid yigaleh Hashem yibarach kvodo Yisrael b'li shum levush. Ki achshav gam kein nimtza zeh hachayim ba'omek Yisrael, ach eino b'hitgalut rak b'levushim. V'halevushim heim ha'torah v'ha'mitzvot. She'ein yicholim lavo la'omek ritzon Hashem yibarach. He also talks about ratzon. He's not letting go of the idea of ratzon. Okay. Rak al yidei haTorah v'haMitzvot. In other words, I can't decipher the olam hazeh. I can't decipher God's will without Torah and Mitzvot. I can't say, well, I'll just try to figure out God's will from history. Right? I see the fact that certain things happen historically over the last 3,000 years. I say this is God's will. Right? You can't do that. Right? There are attempts to do that, but you can't do that. Yeah, it can be done through Torah and Mitzvot. V'zeh. Okay. Now he's explaining. What does that have to do with Paraduma? V'yikhu elecha para. Okay, what is para? Hu hachayim. So he has, para is a symbol for life. Kayadua. He doesn't bother explaining why that should be. Right? Everybody knows that a para, that a cow is a symbol of life. I think, well, he tells you why later in the next piece. If you look, para du matmima, para, hi nikudat hachayim, shemafre umarbe. So para lashon pru revu. That's one thing. I had an addition. In addition to that, milk comes from para. Right, so the para is that which sustains. So it's the makor hachayim. Okay? There was a baby. Babies drink milk.
Usually
mayim. Milk is like shefa. Mayim is rather, you know, mayim is the minimum you need to survive,
babies,
right?
Don't usually drink cow's milk.
No, but the cow gives, but milk, you have to understand. You can't ask kashas like that. It's the type, this is a whole other discussion, right? Do you ever study psychology?
Basic. Intro.
Did you ever hear the term primary process?
Yeah.
Okay. This associative process is primary process. In other words, milk is milk, right? You can't ask a kasha, this is mother's milk and this is cow's milk. You don't ask kasha like that when you have a dream, right? Right. Think of this is the language of dreams. That's primary process. The language of Medrash and the language, the associative language of Kabbalah and of these guys, is primary process. It's not like, you know, you're comparing. It's different. It's not intellectual, right? But it's an associative process.
You have to get used to
thinking that way, right? It's a different way of thinking.
It's flowing.
Right? It's flowing, but it's not without rigor. People think it's like that. It's a different type. There's a different system. Right? It's a different way of relating to the universe. It's a different model.
Right.
So people are challenged. Put it nicely. Some people can't walk and have to be in a wheelchair, right? But to develop, you have your full personality, which has different aspects to it, right? You have different faculties, and you develop all of them. You can develop one at the expense of the other, right? So we're talking about a different faculty.
Because I'm scared that I plug the bullet in my eye. Because like you say, like this, like that, everything goes. It's like,
so, no, all I'll right. I'm not saying don't. You don't have to trust me. You can throw this out after you finish.
No,
okay?
I'm just saying the issue is that
all right, fine.
You never know what he's saying. If it's really true.
So that if you study these things, you begin to see a certain consistency, and then you have a way of, you begin to have a way of critiquing, you know, what does this symbol mean this here, or doesn't it mean this here, right? But let's just see what he says at this point. So the para, right, for him is a symbol of life. Okay? That might have to do with Yosef being ashore also. Right? Yosef is represented by the ashore. Bishore gives, because Yosef is the one who gives life. Right. You know what Sofnat Panech means in real Egyptian? Not Migalet, you know, Tzfunot. Sofnat Paneach in ancient Egyptian, Nat, like Sofnat, Osnat, Nat is the name of an Egyptian deity. Neth. You ever give Neth?
No.
Neth is an Egyptian deity. Sofnat is Neth speaks. Osnat, right, is consecrated to Nat. right? Nekudash to not. So she was about. I was just telling you. So tzof not means God speaks, right? Paneach. This is a very very famous Egyptian hieroglyphic. I'm sure you've seen this. You see this hieroglyphic? You never saw that hieroglyphic? Yeah, I got everybody interested over here.
I see that.
That's Neach. Neach, this is
Noach?
No. No. Well, it's not Noach with a literature accent. This is a nose and this is it, breath coming out. It means life. That's a symbol of life in Egyptian. It's breath coming out of the nose. Okay? So Tzofnat Paneach is the God speaks, gives life. It means Yosef is the provider of life. Okay? Yosef is the shore. The cow provides life. Okay? So let's see, that's why you have Tzofnat Paneach, you have Osnat. Okay. Okay, let's get back to here. All right, so Kayadua. I don't know if you knew ancient Egyptian, but okay. V'zeva yikoy lecha para hu hachayim kayadua. Ule eight ata. You're going to recognize something here. Ule eight ata nitztavu shehachayim yu betoch levushim. Haynu haTorah v'mitzvot. Olam hazeh v'chayim. Right, we're talking about the source of life, which is really God, right? Just right, he talks about it as life, and he talks about it as the para, right? But it's God, right? So it has to be betoch levushim, haynu haTorah v'mitzvot. Okay, so but la'atid lavo, it's going to be, you'll see the para, right? Aduma, tmima, haynu. Tkufot means, well, as in takif, right? Tikifut would be the modern Hebrew way of saying it. Okay, mifurash, bili hafsek, ubili fgam. So the para will be aduma. V'yikol elech as latid lavo, the chayim will be aduma. Now, why red is bili hafsek? This has to do with perception. Again, just if you ever studied psychology, the faculty of sight, right? What really happens, and how do we perceive our sight? What really happens is
a cone.
Yeah, but the light hits your eyes, right? So it's passive, the same way sound hits your ears, right? But the way you perceive it, you don't perceive your sight that way. You perceive it, especially if you perceive it intellectually, it's key, like you feel like ray, like in the Superman comics with X-ray vision, right? The rays, I mean, am I three generations too early for you guys? Right? If I have other superheroes, like when you were growing up. But the rays go out, right? And you grab it, right? Is that how you perceive your sight?
I think it's just there. I don't really...
You don't perceive it as like when you're looking at something that you're going out.
It
doesn't come to you. Okay. As opposed to sound... Sound comes to you. You never perceive that your ear is spreading out to hear something. Even when you're straining to hear something, you're straining to get it. Right? That's why you talk like that. Like, you get it. Right? So sight is sort of an active way of perceiving. Even though physically, it's passive. Right? But there's a psychological difference. One second. But the perception of certain colors is perceived as being passive. Especially red, because red is the highest on the wavelength. When you, if I look, turn around, look at this farm shank over there. What do you see? First color.
The red.
The red. Okay. The red. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're normal there. And there you're not challenged. The red jumps out at you, right? You say the color jumps out at me, right? So that's the aduma, is the direct perception, right? Without any emtza'i. In other words, there's an emtza'i. If I have to strain to see something, then I'm here and it's there and I have to reach out to get it, right? But something I just look at it, boom, right? So the para is aduma, Right, the para means the source of life, which is a symbol for the para is a symbol for the source of life, which is a symbol for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is latid level is aduma. It will come at you without any intermediary, direct perception. That the same direct perception that I talked that I mentioned before, that when God communicates, the perception is direct. Right, it's not through an intermediary. Okay.
This is it. By I think Shmuel says it by kol am olim a kolos that they were able to see to like. Take it in.
Right. Okay. That certainly fits with that whole thing. Okay. Okay. Adumat mi ma'haynu tkufot mifurash b'li hafseik u'b'lif gam asher ein bamum haynu shtut. There'll be no shtut. Shelo yimtza b'shum ma'aseh. This has to do with the fact that every ma'aseh that's done has a little bit of shtut in it, because after the Adam HaRishon ate from Eitz HaDaat, everything is tov v'ra. So it'll be pure. Asher lo Allah aleha ol, shelo ye shum yigial Yisrael meolam. So what does this mean? Beolam hazeh, right, we all experience being under an ol. Right, Am Yisrael suffers in history. Right, we're under Shibud Malchuyot, Ol Parnasa, right? There's all sorts of tzarot, right? So his claim is that that's only Lamar E'enayim. Even though we perceive that as being very real, La'atid Lavo, it'll be a glowing Muslim Afreya that it never existed. That we were never under anybody else's Ol, only under Ol Hashem. Even though now it's not perceived that way, a glowing Muslim Afreya will be that way. Asher lo aleha. Asher lo aleha, Allah aleha ol, latid lavo, you realize that there was never an ol. So the example that is given that earlier, think about the story with Yosef and the Achim, right? The Achim come before Yosef, and he's meshabed otam, right? He's oser Shimon, the whole story, right? When Yosef reveals himself, now remember Yosef is also a symbol, right? Yosef was a symbol for the tzaddik, which is similar for pure divine revelation, right? Without any pgam. After Yosef reveals himself, they understand that they were never tachat ol of anybody, right? They thought they were mishuabad li Yosef to this. They thought they were mishuabadim to Mitzrayim. After Yosef reveals himself, you see it's all God, right? So latid lavo, you understand that you were never under an ol. Okay? And this isn't really entirely satisfying to somebody that suffers terrible tragedy. Right? But this is the tfisa. Okay, he brings a pasuk from Zechariah. I didn't look it up to see the context here. The kol zeh, hu atak, all this is true, but now it's kamus batorah u'mitzvot. And this is fascinating. See, plus, aval la'atid yareh Hashem itbarach zot b'li levush. La'atid lavo, you know, v'yikhu lashon atid elecha para aduma tmima, right? La'atid lavo, you'll know all this directly without levushim, right? Kamo deita mitzvot b'teilot la'atid lavo, v'yareh Hashem itbarach shelo haya lehem shum ol. Me'achar shehu yitbarach manhigotam, ach shaya behester, v'zeo perush shelo ala aleha ol. Okay, think about that. All right, now there's another thing which is related to this. Does this sound familiar to you? The idea?
The connection between Moshe
but also Korach. Korach wants it now also. What's Korach's chait? It's kolei da kulam kedoshim. Says it's really true that kolei da kulam kedoshim b'tocham Hashem, but that's only latid lavo le'et ata. It's not like that, right? It's the same thing. Korach wants what's latid lavo now. That's why it's so dangerous.
So why is this?
Because there's no structures. You don't need Korach's claims. You don't need structures. Structures are Torah mitzvahs. He wants to get it to the end without yigi'ah. There has to get to a process to get to kolei da kulam kedoshim. It's not just stam kolei da kulam kedoshim. You're not born into it. There's a process to create that. That's what Korach wants to obviate. Right, remember that?
So the
paraduma
is
the paraduma is latid lavo, but now it's nistar. Latid lavo won't be nistar. V'yikhuaylecha latid v'yikhuaylecha. Now the truth is, how if you would plug that back into the parsha, that's what's mitar from Tumas Meis. Is the Makora Chayim, which is hidden, right? But that is the ultimate, you know, Mechayim Meisim, Atarav Loshia. Latid Lavo is Tchiasa Meisim. Because you defeat death, Latid Lavo, because death is Lavush. Because your goof is Lavush in Neshama. That's connected
death
with...
Death is Lavush?
Your goof is a Lavush, and your goof dies, but it's only a Lavush.
That's a removal of the Lavush,
It's a removal of the Lavush. Latid Lavo, you take this Midah of direct revelation, and that's Matayr from Tumas Meis.
That's what,
because Tumas Meis is because you live in a world of Levushim. If you lived in a world without Levushim, then there wouldn't be death. Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't need a body. The body is Levushi and Neshama. Because your Neshama can't exist without your body. Just like God's revelation cannot exist without the world.
Now that we can take the symbol of the direct. Galut Dan also be retired from Tumas Meis.
Right, exactly.
That's what I heard from the Moshe Shapiro, that that's why it's Zos Chukas HaTorah. That's why that this has to be a Chol, because this is Zos Hilov, this is the retired from death. Uh-huh. That's why Seichel is shaykh to this world. That's why Chol, which is Paradum, is retired from the ultimate.
Right, so it's Latid Lavo, right?
So it has to be a Chol.
Okay, means you can't really grasp it.
Right.
Okay, now look at this. This is just connected to that. It's a short piece. Vayom Hashem u'Moshe v'Aaron b'Har ha'Har al gvul eretz Edom. Right? So Aaron is, just like Moshe, is buried mul pa'or. Right? Aaron is buried al gvul eretz Edom. Ha'inyan kvurat Aaron al gvul eretz Edom. Ki Edom hu mitnaged al avodah. Mitnaged le'avodah. Aaron represents Avoda, but in a deeper sense. Ki hu omer, Esav, right? Edom says, Me'achar shehu naki agav imo, lo yitztarech la'avoda, kayadua. Apparently, I think all these people know all these things, right? Okay. Esav is the first one that's born from an Av and an Ein. He's born b'kedusha, right? From, as opposed to Yishmael. So you could say that Mishmael is Nidche because his mother is not Sarah, right? So he's Nidche. He's only from Avram, but he's not from Sarah. But Esav, right, looks back at Yishmael and says, but my parents both, right, are Yitzchak and Rivka. So I've got it made. I don't need to go through Avodah in order to be Lifnei Hashem. Right? This has to do with the whole nature of Esau. We'll talk about it in a second. The Aharon, hu hamivarer. Aharon says that's not true. You need avoda. You can't just be lifnei Hashem. Right? The same way we talk about paraduma. This is Edom. Right? It's interesting. Paraduma and Edom, and they're connected. The paraduma is latid lavo. In the meantime, what do you have to do in this world? Torah mitzvos. No, it's because Torah mitzvos is the beirur, is the act of refining, right? That's the purpose of the avoda, is to refine yourself, to be mavchin between tov v'ra. All Torah Shabbat Peh is mavchin between tov v'ra. Kasher pasul, tov v'ra, tami v'tahar, right? It's all acts of havchana. That's where you feel comfortable, right? That's Torah Shabbat Peh. Aaron represents that. Aaron is a symbol for Torah Shabbat Peh. So Aaron represents Hu Amivarer Shebuchol Nefesh Mi Yisrael Nimtza Avodah, which is what Esav denies. Esav says, "You hear, right? Va'yidei zeh Yikaret Zaro Shel Esav." Maybe Zaro Shel Esav. Esav doesn't recognize Avodah. Esav. This is due. If you look in just in the story, these things are borne out in the stories as well. If you look at Esav, Esav is like his Esav is in the here and now. Esav is born asui, right?
He's born what Moses says.
Everything is in the present. Esav is a character that doesn't develop. He doesn't have a past. He doesn't have a future. He's always right now. Today I'm going to die. Lama liza b'chora, right? And when he meets Yaakov later, right? Esav is a gingy. You know what a gingy is? Very much here and now. If he's angry at you, he can kill you. and then he can turn around and embrace you. And it can be sincere when he embraces you. But if you cross them, he will kill you. Right? So that's why he can embrace Yaakov for real. Right? But Yaakov could never embrace Esav because he remembers everything that happened. But Esav is sort of in the present. He's in the present. Right now, you know, let's be together. Right? So Esav is Asui, the whole... And the fact that he's Edom, the fact that he has hair, he's born mature, he doesn't develop. Right? Yaakov goes through a whole development. Yaakov goes through Berurim. Right? He starts off as an Ishtam, he learns that you can't be Tam. You know, he goes through the whole thing, he goes in the Golos, he comes back, he has all these. Yaakov's first Jew. Right? Because there are Beirut, his life is very Jewish as opposed to the previous others. He's much more Jewish in terms of, you know, going to Golos. Right. Okay. No, and coming back.
Yeah.
That's why he's the last Av. Right. So
you said that until a certain point Yaakov and Esav wore similar character traits, and Yitzchak couldn't tell them different, could tell them apart, and then Esav
so it's a different take on it. One is not, that's Ein Shimon Drashas, right? Okay, but those differences might have been inherent or, and just not recognizable. That's the question, right? So the idea is that you can't jump the gun. Like, this is where, you know, he asked me yesterday, he says, you know, right? The whole point here, this is very not antinomian. There's certain antinomian elements, but they're latid lavo. In everyday life, you need Torah mitzvos. You can't skip it. The big villains are the ones who want to skip it. Esav wants to skip it. Korach wants to skip it, right? Paraduma represents its latid lavo. Right, because you have to go through the avoda.
It minimalizes the importance of it. It's all just a emtsa'i for some higher matara.
Right.
The Tana is the Tana
Kishon. I would think that what?
Tana is
the
Tana Kishon.
What would the world have been like? What would have
itself? In itself, that's the Hashem. That itself is what we're looking for. Not some higher level. That this is just some kind of.
Okay, you know, it's a different tisa.
It's a different tisa.
Yeah. That's okay.
No, but it's hard to say. It's hard to accept that Hashem makes us do all these mitzvahs and we spend all our time doing something which really in itself isn't valuable. It's just because it's going to bring to some other.
But that's all there is. All there is refining. It's a continuous process. In a sense, you never get there. It's always latid lavo. Right?
Mm-hmm.
1 second. You understand what I'm saying? It's always latid lavo.
To say that Hashem gave us this latayak sabriyos is one thing, but that doesn't mean that there's no value in the mitzvah itself. That just means that the mitzvah, the tzira comes through the mitzvah. What he's saying here is much more, saying, like you were saying yesterday, there's like, you have Hashem, usually do it through mitzvahs, and then sometimes you can do it tzira through Averis, or through, like, that's like, you know, there's
right, there's Ratzon Hashem, and there's a tension at times between Ratzon Hashem. There's the Klalim and the Pratim. Here, let me show you something, okay, just as the last thing. There are too many, look, we're handling a lot of questions there. On the Akedah, okay? Says here, Ataya Dati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. Right after the Akedah, Ha'efresh Bein Shebein Yirat Hashem LiYirat Elokim. Didn't say Yirat Hashem, Yirat Elokim. Yirat Elokim, Huma Sheyimna Adam Et Atzmo Milasot Davar Kegon Achila VeChadome, Hu Machmat Sheino B'Shleimut VeOd Nimtza BaAdam Chisaron. V'yitzamtzem et atzmo kafi havanato zot yikare yirat elokim. In other words, yirat elokim is the assumption is if God said you can't eat nevela, it's because nevela is bad for me, right? In some sense, right? That means I have some sort of chisaron. I mean, if I was perfect, nothing would be bad for me, right? Only kryptonite would hurt me, right? But nothing else can hurt me. So Yirat Elokim is when a person abstains from something that they need to be abstaining from. So that's Yirat Elokim. But you have the Chisaron. So you need that halacha. The halacha is for you, to protect you. Okay? That's Yirat Elokim. Yirat Hashem, he's a high madrega. Yirat Hashem, hainu, af sha'adam mevin ba'atzmo. Shemutar lo lasot hadavar hazeh, ki nafsho mizukach mizeh hachisaron. Person understands that for him he could do this and it won't affect him in an adverse manner. Right? He can eat nevela; it won't be matamtem his life. He's developed past it. Okay. Rak sha'asu lo mitzad Hashem yitbarach. But it's still usur, because God said so. Even though for me personally, it doesn't serve a purpose. But it's usur, because God said so. Ki Hashem yitbarach tziva p'kudim yisharim l'chol nefesh. Because the Torah is not for individuals, it's for everybody. So you have to find the common ground, right?
I mean, it was commanded for Chol Nefesh, or it's Yashar even for his Nefesh, even though he thinks that.
Listen, Ulafi Sheyesh Adam She'ein Od Mizukach Bazeh. Because there are other people who Nebuch aren't on the Madrega and they can't eat Neveva.
It's a
low
plug, basically.
Right? Al Kain Lo Hitir Hashem Yitbarach Et Zeh Adavar. Ki hu eino shaveh bakol. V'ha'adam mechuyav lizbol isur avur chaveiro. V'ze yikare yirat Hashem. Right? So, I can't eat the nevela because of you. Right? So I abstain from it. I accept the sevel of the isur for you. Right? That's yirat Hashem. Right? Yirat Elokim is lo madrega. I don't do it because it's bad for me. That's one madrega. That's another madrega. I don't do it because it's bad for you.
So what happens if you would do it?
I'd be over an iser.
What does that mean?
Whatever it means. You don't get into that.
Does it have an adverse effect on him?
No. In other words, it's necessary for the system. Right? There's always the system, and then there's the individuals. This is the Rambam also says in Mor Nevuchim. That for any individual, right, the result of halacha might not be the best thing. It's just the best thing for society. So sometimes the individual has to suffer because you don't live on a desert island. So it's better for most people that it should be this way. So even for me personally, it's not just. But for the society, you know, you have to do it. Right? These are the rules. So for everybody in general, you know, that's why machlokas has been. You could be right in the, you know, you could be right in a specific instance. Zaki Mamre could be right, quote unquote, in a specific instance. But the system is more important than any individual case. So the klal is more important than an individual in any specific case. So what he's saying here is that there's some sort of chisaron in Avraham that he's Yirei Elokim. Understand? In other words, Avraham needed the Akedah. It wasn't that the Akedah was an example for other people, and it was Yirat Hashem, it was Yirat Elokim. In other words, Avraham needed the Akedah. That's the application here, right? But that's a separate issue.
So getting back to Paraduma, he's saying that the intrinsic worth of Paraduma on the Prat level, what it does being the Tar Tumah, that's on the Lokim level. But
oh no, I don't know. No, he's not talking about that at all. Because no, we're just talking about Ritzon Hashem as opposed to Klalim Uprat, as opposed to, you know, what the Torah says, and they don't, what the Halacha says, they don't necessarily always coincide, because in every individual instance it might be different, because Ritzon Hashem is infinite. So Ritzon Hashem could relate to every infinite detail in the universe in every changing circumstance, and no klalim can do that. Right. So this is a constant thing. Okay. It's a different thing. Okay. I hope I gave you what to think about.